We'll move on and go back to the panel on the IFAC criticism, the Fiscal Advisory Council, and whether government spending is too much, too quickly. And I'll come to that in just a second. I'll give you one or two updates on in terms of your text to 51551. Please ask the panel when they're going to finish the Children's Hospital. Let's finish one major project before starting another, says one listener. We have found a field. We have found a field. A listener says, I have a field in North Dublin, which requires planning permission. But I don't know if it's the same person who says, Jay and Swords, that big field, Cormac, is called Thornton Hall. I don't know. I don't know if it's appropriate to use that one or if it's maybe it is. Who knows, Dee? Could that be used, I wonder? Huh? Instead of a prison?
With the major plans to invest in prisons as well, we need to increase capacity there too. So there's need right across the system.
Okay, one more. I agree totally with Michael Fitzmaurice. I live along the N17 where there was a major crash this morning. It's a daily death trap. So get it done and I'll give a feel for workers.
Which has been promised. I mean, that N17 has been talked about and promised for years and years.
It's worth saying, sorry, since Lorcan brought it up, the government has pointed to a significant sum in the development plan for road safety and road renewal and maintenance as well. Can I ask you, though, Paul, about the Fiscal Advisory Council criticism of government spending? Because they're basically saying to government, you're spending way too much here, way over the limits you've set yourselves, and you don't have the tax foundation for it. Are we at risk of going over a financial cliff here?
Yeah, well, the warning from IFAC is pretty stark, but their last year and a half, 2 years of warnings have been pretty stark about the kind of medium to long term. This one says that the government is budgeting like there's no tomorrow, that basically they're setting aside what they know are windfall corporation taxes and using them to spend. So the share of corporation tax that is being saved, and this has kind of always been the government's argument, is that, look, we're squirreling away these corporation tax, we're not building them into day-to-day spending. The share of that that's getting saved, the IFAC analysis says that this year it's 32%. Next year that'll be 15%. It's going to drop off massively, and that's the warning. You know, Seamus Coffey, who's the chair of IFAC, said that the government is planning to run a smaller surplus next year, and warned that spending is set to grow by over 11% in 2025.
Are they concerned about spending on capital projects like we've discussed, or is it more current spending that they're worried about?
It's that growth in current spending that's the real alarm, because if you go back and I had reason to recently look at recent budgets where voted expenditure was kind of towards the end of the last decade was up around 70 billion. You know, this year you're talking 119 billion.
Can I put it to the two opposition spokespeople, though? Mm. The government is damned if they do and damned if they don't, because if they didn't spend at this level, Nessa, you were hopping up and down in Labour saying, look, you need to spend more on social protection.
What we in Labour, I suppose, are saying that we need to spend more on public projects. So we need to invest more in the state. So, I mean, of course you want to spend some of that windfall tax, some of that windfall on key infrastructure projects, including housing, including transport infrastructure. Of course we see that. But what we say as well, though, I suppose, is that you have to have a broader and fairer tax base. On the one hand, you can't have a 9% VAT cut for your buddies, you know, that it's only going to serve, big restaurateurs.
I think that's an unfair allegation.
Really? IREC said that themselves, that really the amount of small cafes are the amount of people that it's actually going to have an impact on.
Yeah, but
they're looking at
it coldly, they say, the government, at what the industry needs. But be that as it may, we're saying clever
spending. We're fine for spending money, but not wasting, not spending 420 million or 700 million, actually it is, on agency staff in the HSE, just employ people directly. Have a state construction company. You know, be clever with your money and not, we know the Children's Hospital.
Would you spend at the same level? Broad brush.
We would definitely save some of the money I don't know the figure there, but I know that we would definitely look at having a more medium-term plan like IREC have recommended. And we've been saying that for years, that we seem like Budget 2026 seems to be that's it. There's no plan further past that. Like, and I know, we'll say, from working on the ground in services, in like youth provision, social care services, people are crying out for multi-annual funding. And that's an issue, that because it's going from budget to budget to budget.
The problem here is you point on one hand to, you say you want clever spending, but then you have a list as long as your hand in terms of what you'd spend the money on. Michael Fitzmaurice, you're the same. You want more for farmers, more for carers, more for hospitals in the West, more for roads. There's no end to the more as you want. You'd spend, if you were a minister, to the same level, wouldn't you, really?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't criticise the government for what they're spending on infrastructural projects. The one part I would always look at, and this is the prudent part, and the sad reality, you hear everyone talking about what should be done, and I heard a reference there to the people maybe in the small cafe that got the cut. Well, how many of us, how many of these people that's talking about all this ever employed people? How many employed 2, 3, 4, 5 in a small business and had to try and keep the door open and maybe damn all coming in the door to you? This is the reality of business in rural Ireland. Let's be clear on it, and you have to help it. The second part I want to say here is, I agree fully with the spending, and I'm not going to shy behind it. I would do it a small bit different. If you want to talk about the Children's Hospital, the Children's Hospital is a basket case, a yellow form contract, licensed to print money for anybody that ever worked in the construction sector.
No, I don't accept that. That's unfair criticism. Way over budget, but it's not a license to print money because the government...
Excuse me.
Yeah, the government would take issue with that.
It's a yellow form contract. Do you know what a yellow form contract is?
Yeah, I do. But
well, then, if you do know what it is, it's a license to...
Michael, is not welcome on this programme. Your spirit is welcome, but the loose use of language is not. But I'll put it to you this way, right?
Yeah.
And at least you're being frank and honest. At least you're saying, spend as
and
much
second
as...
I will say the unpopular thing. I would put motorways everywhere I could around the country, but I told them, for the simple reason, you have a choice then, go from A to B quick or go from A to B and go through the winds and the twists and whatever.
And what about the carbon fines, Michael, when you do that? Like, we know that transport is a huge emission.
Let's not be, well, you can use electric car if you want. Let's not be always talking about what we're going to be. Let's not be always talking about what we're going to be fined. My understanding is
Europe
going to fine most of its countries and get the money in their kitty to tell you you are a bad boy and take the money off you? Let's get real about it.
A charade will go on
in Europe that these fines won't happen in 2020.
They're legally binding, Michael.
But even beside the fines, though, what about the planet, Michael? You know, what even
if you're so worried about the planet, ring Donald Trump and the three others where 56% of them didn't bother their arse turning up at COP.
Do you really want to compare us to Donald Trump, though?
Well, if you're worried about the planet, if 56% of the emissions go up with them and they didn't bother coming, do you think that we'll save the planet?
So two wrongs make a right, is what you're saying.
Listen, we can do a certain amount. We're not going to save the world.
No, but hang on a second. In ways, this is head in the sand stuff from you.
No, it's not head in the sand.
Let me get the question out.
I'm very clear on this. I support the money spent on infrastructure, both public transport and on basically roads and all the different and rail. That's it. And we need it. What are we going to do? Have we a housing problem? Yes, we have. Have we a problem with public transport? Yes, we have. What are we going to do? Keep talking about it or else do it.
And Cormac, so spend is the Michael Fitzmaurice version of drill, baby, drill. It is, because you don't care that we have actually, really, when you strip away multinational windfall corporation tax, that we have a deficit of 14 billion.
Cormac, don't care about the planet, obviously. Can I be clear on this? I would borrow the money and pay it back over a 20-year period, no more than anyone and everyone that was a councillor will know. When we were tearing roads with tear and chips, we were going round messing every few years. When we decided to look at the long-term view of putting McAdam in that last 25 years cost more, it was more cost-effective.
Spend, baby, spend.
Well, whatever
that's
way
what
you want
saying.
To put it, I would build the infrastructure.
Say it for me, because that's exactly what it is. Say it. Spend, baby, spend. Say it, Michael, because that's
I have made it very clear that I would spend the money.
Well, Cormac, I'd like to say I really welcome Michael's common sense, no nonsense approach to this, and he's absolutely right. I heard the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council's comments during the week about how, in their view, we are overspending, and in many opposition politicians' view, we're not spending enough. And as you rightly pointed out, it's a difficult position to be in for government. However, we have taken a very careful and considered approach to what we are committing in current expenditure. Remember, our population is growing. We had an increase of 1.7% in our population last year. That's seven times higher than the EU average. So we have to set aside money, additional money, every year in current expenditure to meet the demands for our growing population. At the same time, we're committing significant money, and you've heard it today just in transport, to infrastructural projects and into housing. And those kind of investments, we believe, will in turn deliver savings for us in current expenditure.
Okay. It seems to me, though, right, that the transport infrastructural plan, for example, the might blow the carbon budget out of the water for that period. It just seems to me. So I just wonder, in your prudent approach to finances, are you putting money aside for the 12 to 26 billion euro fine?
And we are. We have two funds, significant funds that were announced last year that the government established. There's the Climate and Nature Fund, and then there's the Future Ireland Fund. And we put, I think it was 2 billion into the Future Ireland Fund last year, 4 billion into the Climate and Nature Fund last year. And we're committed to continue to do those, to build up that buffer over the coming years. We're building up that buffer over the coming years for whatever we do need that money for. And in the meantime,
potentially fines.
Well, we won't want to be wasting our money on fines, Cormac, and I can assure you that the government will be delivering everything as quickly as possible to ensure
track,
that
I think, says EPA for the fine.
Well, if we're on track, you can be sure other countries are on track.
Right.
And I would imagine that will be a matter that will be taken up within the EU.
Right. We can't afford not to spend the money to avoid fines.
So you believe that that can be negotiated away?
Well, I believe that we're going as fast as we can, and we're going to be going faster in the coming years. And we will be doing our utmost to achieve our carbon emission reductions, and we have significantly reduced our carbon emissions.
But my understanding is that those targets are legally binding, and if you don't meet them, you're fined. Am I wrong?
Yeah, the Taoiseach has said that there's still the framework to be decided. But one of the things that was really interested in the travel sectoral plan was that congestion itself is costing the economy billions. 330 million in the Greater Dublin area, which will rise to 1.5 billion by 2040. That's what costs the Greater Dublin area's economy. In Dublin or in Cork and Galway, it's 100 million euro a year just from congestion. People sitting in their cars, not being at work, not being productive. We can't afford not to invest in our public transport.
Correct.
And the fact that this government has abandoned the 2-to-1 spending ratio from active travel
I wouldn't describe it as abandoning. I think we had to adjust it in order to meet the deficit that we had in the road network that was needed around the country. We've certainly, even today, Minister O'Brien announced the Tun Nua auction, which was for floating offshore wind on the south coast. So we are at the same time pushing and driving forward with our renewable energy projects right around the country.
Brian Ledden says on WhatsApp, I'm sure, of Green Party fame, the panellists are all barking up the wrong tree, he says. The discussion should be about which projects are being prioritised in the NDP. In the Midwest, for example, the Foynes Road has been prioritised over connecting Shannon Airport to the National Rail Network. Is that right, he says?
I agree. It absolutely is right. The Foynes Road, the Foynes to Limerick Road, which is often talked about as the Adair Bypass, is not the Adair Bypass. It's part of it. It is connecting the port of Foynes, one of our most important ports in the whole island, to the motorway network from Limerick. And it is important for the port of Foynes in order for them to retain their tonnage status within the EU network, and in order for us to accelerate our floating offshore wind ambitions from the Shannon Estuary. So I would disagree with Brian completely on that.
But imagine if you had high-speed rail to Shannon Airport.
Can I come in?
We want that too. And the Foynes Road is, and the operation of the Port of Foynes, and the ability that has to deliver on our renewable energy ambitions in the coming decade is, to my mind, far more important than the rail link to Shannon Airport.
Does anybody realise that Foynes is one of the most strategically important ports in this country, for the simple reason it is a buffer zone around it of 3 kilometres where we can offshore wind, that's where it would be put together for towing out. People need to understand this, that rail line is going to, the likes of Galway and Killybegs would be where the technology she will be brought out for offshore wind. So you have to put in the infrastructure. As we anybody that's in business will always tell you, you have to spend a pound to make a pound.
I was on the Shannon Estuary Economic Task Force that highlighted how much of an opportunity we have from the Shannon Estuary to actually power not only our homes in Ireland, but also with the interconnector to France to actually sell energy onto the grid in Europe and supply Europe with its renewable energy. So that's a critical project for us. And it's a critical European project, to be frank.
Nessa.
Yeah, and as I think, though, like part of the Irish Rail, you know, I'm speaking to Irish Rail on the Transport Committee, like they want to connect. Like there is, and this is where I think we're missing the point here as well, that there doesn't seem to be an interconnected plan, but like you spoke about rail. Like to extend the rail, like it's a no-brainer to extend the rail. Like we have a Morton Sligo as well, that if you do, and if that could be used for freight as well, you know, and like, so we, like to not extend that, that's in public ownership, but to me is an example of not spending money wisely.
But to the track is there. With all due respect, Nessa, the port in Sligo is not at the same level of strategic importance to the European network as Foynesport is. And it does have an important role to play in facilitating the support of floating offshore wind, because the whole of the west coast of Ireland is going to be doing.
I'm sure you'll disagree. Let me say this. I think all our guests this evening are extremely good. But one texter says, I think Michael is a breath of fresh air. Speaking honestly and fairly, I've just returned from Australia after immigrating 3 years ago due to burnout as a nurse. It's great to hear someone actually say honestly they'd have to spend the same as the current government. Instead of a finger-pointing exercise that's become the norm, can we work together? We're all looking for the same solution, a better infrastructure for Ireland, says that listener. Welcome home, listener, and I hope you feel energised and that this conversation isn't re-traumatising you or burning you out again.
But I suppose the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council was set up as a kind of a watchdog to advise the government after the crash. You know, and we have to listen to it, and it isn't being listened to. So, you know, and they don't just come out willy-nilly and saying the state is flying blind with a no medium-term plan. And they don't have a medium-term plan.
Well, the government says they do listen, but then they go and
start in the round.
But there is something in what IFAC talked about, there being no forecast beyond 2026. And this is something, Simon Harris mentioned it at the Fine Gael Think in September in Mullingar. He talked about moving away from short-termism, and he's used that term a couple of times. He used it last night at a Cork Chamber dinner, about moving away from short-termism. And that is a really noble goal, and we have to do it under EU rules anyway and set out our medium-term fiscal strategy. But one of the things that we're going to have to get away from is this idea of, like, the budget being the centrepiece of the political year.
Yeah.
Because Simon Harris talked about, you know, let's get away from short-termism, and a month later was commending a budget or sitting as Pascal Donoghue commended a budget which laid out no medium-term forecast, didn't say what we were going to do next year.
Let me bring Michael in before we move on to the next topic.
Yeah, I think if we were visionaries, the opportunity that's on the West Coast with Foynes from the Bush of Kerry right up along the West, if the D2 maps were done for getting offshore wind there, we could bring pharmaceutical even in bigger numbers, data centres. We should be buying up blocks of land all the way up from Kerry right up towards Donegal.
You're spot on, Michael. All those heavy energy users.
You would have one of the greatest employment areas, which would take pressure off Dublin, and I believe that can be done with vision going forward, not looking from 1 to 2 years, but looking to a 10 to 15 year plan.
Yeah, but they're not in the development plan. Those areas, we say to the west and the northwest. But I'm talking about the west and northwest. Those key infrastructure
Galway Outer Bypass is in it.
But past Galway, though.
Western Rail Corridor. But the problem with Galway Outer Bypass is I'm back to what I said at the very beginning. Unless we bring in the critical infrastructure, emergency stuff, we are going
to. I think the West will have to get. Yeah,
it's
the West
30 years on the go, Cormac.
Decent politicians into the NFTs. That's
you're
what I
right.
say. Where are the decent politicians and voices,
Can I just say one thing, Cormac, though? I suppose, you know, we're talking a lot about infrastructure projects and key infrastructure projects, but you know, that there's over a quarter of the children in Ireland living in poverty. And that can't, like, we can't, like, we're, so we can say that, you know, that, like, Pascal Donoghue can say, you know, I mean, he was always been, you know, kind of, like, he was always the one that was so fiscally right and, you know, so right on, and now Simon Harris and Fine Gael pride themselves in this. But there's a quarter of children living in poverty.
But they say they put a focus on it in this budget.
But they haven't. People are worse off.
Okay, you beg to differ, but that's what they say. Let me move on from this topic. One more text to 51551 I'll bring to you before I move on to social media. Enjoying the debate on roads, says one listener. As someone who travels a lot by road around Europe, I can leave Bilbao Port and within 3 minutes be on a dual carriageway and then a motorway all the way to Gibraltar. Same from Cherbourg to almost all of France. Closer to home, straight out of Holyhead Port, all the way to London motorway. Michael is right. Build the infrastructure, says that listener.
Build, baby,
five.
Build.
Oh, there he said it. 2 minutes
he said it. Let that be clipped and promoted. That's all I say. Anyway.